You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
That was good. I like that right there. Get some man voices around here. I love the ladies' voices too, you know what I'm saying? But I love that. Are you a child of the King, right? You know, it's just a too when you listen, a child of the King. You know, His royal blood flows through our veins, and so man, that's good all the way around. And so, open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 and 12. We're going to finish up 11. We have one more week. Next week, we're looking at the conclusion. The conclusion, let us hear the conclusion of the matter, right? You know, as Solomon assesses, basically, you're going to have to forgive me, too, because I'm still dealing with something going on in my head. It's not allergies. I don't think it is. I think I got some kind of head cold or something. And so if I snot again, I apologize up front. So I'll try not to. But so Solomon drawing near to the end, really just highlighting this whole thing of life and the frailty of it. Today, I guess if we had a title, we will call today, Live Life with the End in Mind. Live life with the end in mind. Solomon lived his whole life in the here and now with no real thought to the end of his life, and how his actions when he was younger would affect his life when he was older. Solomon lived for the here and now. As he stands at the end of his life, he realizes how wrong he was and that he should have lived his life with the end in mind. Deuteronomy 32:29 says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they would consider, stop and consider what? Their latter end, living with the end in mind." Too many of us live for the here and now. And just like Solomon, with no consideration that someday he will die and stand before the Lord and give an account for the way that he lived his life. And we will also stand before the Lord someday and give an account for the way that we lived our life. And now, at the end of his life, wanting to help those listening to not make the same mistakes, but to live life with the end in mind. What you do today will set the stage for tomorrow. And what you do tomorrow will set the platform for the rest of your life. Solomon, at the end of his life, realized that he has to give an account before the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12:7, just before we jump into it, it says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us shall give an account to himself, of himself to God." Every one of us will give an account of himself to God, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We will give an account. While we may be saved and we will not be judged for our sins, we will absolutely give an account for how we lived our lives. And the reality of this is, I believe, just heavy on Solomon's heart and on Solomon's mind at this time in his life. No doubt aged, no doubt older, no doubt we'll see it as we look at the text. Definitely this in mind. So let's pray and jump right in today. Lord, I love you. I pray, Father, that your word would just open, that you would open our eyes to your word today, that you would help us to truly perceive, Lord, just the reality and the frailty of life, and to live life with the end in mind, looking and understanding that someday we're going to give an answer to you for the life that you gave to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to heed the word of God, to receive wisdom and instruction and understanding, to do your will. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would meet us here today and enlighten us, Father, according to your word. We ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. So Solomon, no doubt older here now. Point number one, Solomon's message to the young. Solomon's message to the young. If you're young in here, would you raise your hand? That was a trick question. I was trying to see, like, what is the definition of young, right? Is it mental? My wife raised her hand. She's like, absolutely, I am still young. She'll be 80 and still young, you know? I mean, that's just how it goes. And so Solomon's message to the young, no doubt in his mind, growing older, in his mind, ailing body. And so Solomon's message to the young, here it is. A, remember now. Remember now thy creator. Look at chapter 12, verse number 1. Remember now thy what? Creator. Remember now thy creator. Just to start off with, we did not evolve. Okay? somebody, you could just pull that verse out right there. We were fearfully and wonderfully made, created by God. And I love that he puts the emphasis, remember now, right now, today, thy creator in the days of what? Thy youth. In the days of thy youth. And while he is talking to the youthful, that could be 20, that could be 30, that could be 5, that could be 10, it could be 65. I mean, I don't know. But it applies to us all here and now. Remember now thy creator, especially in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon, no doubt, in the later years of his life, looking back on his youth, realizing that he himself had forgotten his creator. Remember, he's calling us to remember. What's the opposite of remembering something? It's forgetting it. Obviously, Solomon calling us to remember what he had absolutely forgotten. How foolish he truly was in wasting away his youth, chasing pleasure that never satisfied him. He says to us today, I like this, remember now, today. There's no time for procrastination. I'm sure that in Solomon's life, he said, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll remember my creator tomorrow. I'll live for my creator tomorrow. And he says, tomorrow just never came. Not tomorrow, but today. It's easy when you're young to think you have all the time in the world and to live life with the mentality, I will get to it tomorrow. I'll go to church tomorrow. I'll follow the Lord tomorrow. I'll offer my body a living sacrifice tomorrow. I'll serve the Lord tomorrow. I'll do the things that I'm supposed to tomorrow. I'll remember God tomorrow, but today I'm going to live for me. Today, I'm going to live for my selfish desires. And no doubt, Solomon is like screaming to us today, don't do that. Don't do that. I will remember God tomorrow, Solomon said in his youth. But tomorrow never came. Tomorrow never came. Don't wait till tomorrow. Remember God today. We are told to remember now our Creator. The one who made us, the one who formed us and shaped us, not to live as we please, Because we fail to realize our identity is not wrapped up in this world. That's why our culture is so lost in identity. Am I he? Am I she? Well, if you just look to the Lord, you'll very quickly understand your identity, but we don't want to look to the Lord. He knows why he made you and me and what we were made for. I stand here today because God has made me to do what I'm doing. I think about Jeremiah. He said, before I knew thee, I formed thee in thy mother's womb. And basically he said, I gave you a calling. Maybe your calling today is to be a mom, to be a dad, to be a business owner, to be an employee, to be a servant, to own a business or not to, to be a teacher. Who knows? It's not all just ministry, but he says, hey, remember now the one that made you, the one that made you. How often do we forget the Lord, our Creator? This is Solomon, as he's closing the book, he's really urging us to remember now, not tomorrow, our Creator today. How do you remember your Creator? I think the first thing is simple, but we forget it, right? By reading his word. You know, the Christian life isn't as hard as we make it out to be. I get it that it's not easy in the sense of sometimes the steps of faith that God calls us to, but as far as what God desires of us is relatively clearly laid out for each one of us. How do we remember our Creator? By reading his word. Do you realize that Solomon had or would have had a copy of Scripture? He would have had at least the first five books of the Bible that he read that would have guided him and led him. While God used Solomon to pen this book, it's God's word to us, and we must read it. See, Ecclesiastes, yes, while written by Solomon, it's God's word to us. To read and to obey. I like Psalms 119. Rejoice, O young man, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Look at it. Chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the day of thy youth. Basically, what he's saying there is be grateful for your youth, but don't waste your youth. Be grateful for your youth, but don't be wasteful of your youth. And it says, and walk in the ways of thine heart, right? And in the sight of thine eye. He almost says that tongue in cheek, because that's how he lived his life. He's not telling you to follow your heart. He's saying that almost tongue in cheek as if that's what he did. And that's what he did. The Bible says that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Solomon's heart led him astray. And he follows up with that. And he says, walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eye. Hey, that's how he lived his life. And it brought him to the end of his life with much regret. And he says, but know that for all these things God will bring thee. God will bring you into judgment. God's word reminds us and warns us we will give an account of our life to God on how we lived. Here he says, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Solomon knew this, though. Solomon, if he was walking in God's word, he would have been remembering his Creator. Here's the reality. You won't remember God if you're not reading his word. You won't remember God if you're not reading his word. It's that simple. We won't remember him. We won't think about him if we're not reading his word. And I'm going to follow it up with this next word, daily. Daily. Do you realize that we need to read God's word every single day? Joshua chapter 1, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Every single day, taking it in, every single day reading it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hey, are you having a hard time remembering your Creator? Let me ask you a question. How's your Bible reading doing? If I were to ask you, what is your time and your place that you go to walk with the Lord? Do you have a time and do you have a place? Because if it's just arbitrary, whenever you have time, you'll never have time. It's kind of like the person who says, I'll give when I have enough money. You'll never give. You'll never have enough time. We all have the same amount of time. It's not something that we can get back. You have to make time for what is most important. And if you want to remember your Creator, then let me say to you, hey, what's your time and what's your place? Where are you reading in the Scriptures right now? What did you read yesterday? Where are you going to be at tomorrow? Have you ever read through the Bible? Do you know what God's Word says? Remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator. And this is something that we often put off, right? We'll get to it when? Tomorrow. I'll read, Steve, I didn't get to read today, but I'll do it tomorrow. I like Solomon says, nope, remember what? Now. Remember now. It's the small things that we put off that have the greatest impact down the road. Well, how's reading my Bible going to, because it's going to make you aware of your Creator. It's going to make you mindful of the things of God. Remember now. If you're the one that says, hey, I'll put it off to tomorrow. Hey, young person, don't wait. Don't wait, because tomorrow never comes. And you look back at the end of your life, like Solomon, who had all the money, all the wealth, all the riches, all the women, all those things. And he looked back with regret in his life and said, I wish I would have remembered now. Remember now, now, thy Creator. But not just reading his word, but there is a call to obey his word now, now, now. You know, it's one thing if you just pick it up and you read it. It's another thing to pick it up and do it. James chapter 1 says, be not just a hearer of the word. Yes, go home and read it, because that's how you're going to remember your Creator when the Holy Spirit nudges you and says, oh, you shouldn't do that. Ah, you shouldn't go there. Ah, you should do this. The wise man built his house upon what? Action involved. Upon the rock. Upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so not just reading his word, but a call to obey his word. Look at verse number 10 of 11. It says, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. He says, listen, don't do what you know you're not supposed to be doing. But how are we truly to know what we ought not be doing and what we should be doing except God's word teach us and show us? Wherewithal shall a young man what? Cleanse his way, but by taking heed according to thy word. There is a call to remove that which is evil from your flesh. Except you can't do this without God's word. You can't. You and me need it. I don't care if you've been saved 40, 50 years. You need God's word. You never exhaust or under... It always cracks me up when I hear people say, yeah, I've read the Bible once. As though they've exhausted it and they've understood it in its complete context. Please teach me something. Every time I open it up, it's like, wow, I didn't see that. Wow, I can't believe that. And here, wherewithal? It's by taking heed according to thy word. Don't let sin live in your life, he's saying. Remember now thy Creator. Solomon's message to the youth Remember now thy creator, but then B, don't let your youth deceive you. Don't let your youth deceive you. You know one thing that is more transparent the older I get? It doesn't matter how physically fit you are, how in shape you are, you're going to die. Sorry. Bummer. You could lift the most weights, you can run the most miles, all of those things, and especially when we're young. We live life with no consideration with the end in mind. Solomon says, don't let your youth deceive you. It's not like walking around like, oh, I'm going to die. So that's not what he's saying here. He's not saying Eeyore everything, right? But he is saying there is wisdom in understanding this. In verse number 10, it says, of chapter 11, it says, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. It's vanity because it slips away. It slips away, and we put too much dependency on our youth and on our health as though that's going to keep us alive forever. I'll never forget me and a friend of mine when I was in business for myself. We were remodeling his bathrooms in his house, and the dude was physically fit, man. I mean, this dude was top-notch, probably about 40 years old. He ran triathlons, all kind of crazy stuff. Went on vacation, ran down the beach, died of a heart attack. What can you say? Sometimes we put too much stock in our youth. We put too much stock in our health. And I'm not saying don't take care of your health. And I'm not saying don't enjoy your youth. But how often do we completely put off God in our youth? And we focus so on our health as though that's going to save us from the end. But it's, in essence, it's not. Solomon reminds us, for childhood and youth are vanity. Basically, it's a passing thing. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 31, he says, beauty is vain. Why? Because it's passing. I'm sure Solomon in his youthful age, man, was, man, strong and something to be looked upon. But now he's old, he's gray, he's feeble, and he realizes that his beauty, his strength, is passed away. Life passes by quicker than you think. Life is short. Psalms 39:5 says, behold, thou hast made my days as a hand's breadth. A hand's breadth. A hand's breadth. It's short in comparison to all of eternity. Thou hast made my days as a hand breath, and my age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state, his most fit state, his best place, his best state is altogether vanity before the Lord. In our youth, life seems like it will go on forever. Did anybody ever think that? Am I the only one that never stopped to consider my end in the beginning? It seems like life will go on. I remember, like, you know, when you're a little kid, you're like, oh, I wish I was 10. And then when you're 10, you wish you're 13. And then when you're 13, and then you get older, and you're like, I wish I was 10. You know, and it's like you go backwards, and you're like, man, but how it seems like life will go on forever when we're younger. And getting old is something that we don't think about. Solomon, in his youth, I am sure was strong, handsome, but now he is old, feeble, looking back on his wasted life and says to us today, here it is. Serve God with all your might while you still can. Okay? This is the point. Remember now thy creator in thy what? Youth. Serve God with all of your might now, because there is coming a day where our bodies will break down and we are not going to be able to do what we once could have done for the Lord. Well, let's look at it. Verse number 1, chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, when we're a young man, life is good. We love it. And then there's a time where we get older and it's like, man, you know, my body's breaking down. Another day, another pain. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. See, that evil day that's being spoken of here is when the body begins to break down. Because of old age, you are no longer able to do what you once did. I get to spend time with many people that are older from hospice, and it's always amazing to me how the mind still tells the body that it can do what it once did, but the body's like, you can't. There's a 94-year-old fellow, I was going to visit him, and he's passed. And I go by to visit him, and he's sitting out at his garden, and he's looking at his garden. This man loved his garden. And he wanted so desperately to be able to go back and get in that garden, but his body just wouldn't let him, and he's out there sitting on his chair. You know, what Solomon is trying to drive home to us is, remember now thy Creator in thy youth. Serve God with your might before you're physically not able. He goes on to draw the conclusion, and he gives us a picture, however you want to view it, whether it's the breaking down of the body, and when he uses terms like the door shut, talking about the blindness of the eyes, or the spinal cord, breaking, or mental capacity going, however you want to look at it, whether in its context, just as it says it, or the ailments of the body in verse number 3, when it says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Maybe like that Parkinson's disease where you're not able to do what you once used to do. And the strong men bow themselves. That guy that was super strong, that now, man, he's just heaved over. He doesn't have the strength that he once has. And the grinders cease because they are few. Those that are going out to the workforce are ceasing because the age is growing and they're no longer able to go out. Or you could consider the teeth. Some would say that it's the teeth, the grinders cease, right? No teeth. And those that look out the windows be darkened, and the door shall be shut in the streets. It could be talking about the ears going deaf. Solomon is helping us to realize what is coming. You're like, Pastor, man, I should have stayed home for this message. You know, there is value in every portion of God's word if we acknowledge it and we receive what God wants us to take from it. It goes on to say, it says, verse number 4, and the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the birds. Anybody, as you get older, realize you can't sleep very good anymore? You know, you're up every couple hours, you know, and it's like, it goes on to say, it says, also they shall, or it says, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Man, the hearing, not the best. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears, man, grabbing a hold of us when we as we get older. Fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail. The desire, you got this desire, but you're not able to accomplish it. You mentally want to do it, but physically you can't. Because man goeth to where? His long time home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. See, for us, this is not our home. Heaven is. We put too much stock and we live life as though we're going to be here for eternity. That's what Solomon did. And he gave no real service, and he worked for all of his might for himself. And he's saying to the young here and to those with breath, hey, listen, serve and obey the Lord with all your might while you can today, right now. Do what you can do for the Lord right now. Don't wait. Because man goeth to his longtime home, and the mourners go about the streets. That picture of that funeral, that procession. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitchers be broken at the fountain, or the wheels be broken at the cistern. Just all physical capacities breaking down. Solomon is saying, serve God now in your youth with your might while you still can. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You know, at the end of the message last week, I had a couple people come up to me actually and said, you know, when we talked about taking risk for the Lord, you know, I had somebody come up to me and say, man, you know, I just feel like the Lord's laying on my heart to start a nursing home ministry. I'm like, man, praise the Lord for that. I said, there's plenty of people in this church that I'm sure would love to come along and man, jump on that to be a blessing and minister and to serve. Not all ministry takes place inside of these four walls. Serve the Lord while you can. Don't be deceived and think, oh man, I got forever. Because we don't. Our bodies will break down. They will fail. And verse 7 reminds us that we will meet our Maker. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. There is no redos in life. Solomon understands this. There is no redos in life. You can't go back to yesterday. Solomon is drawing near to death saying, don't forget God like I did. It was his biggest regret. The reason man grows old, and I want you to think about this. Why do we even grow old? Why do we die? What's it a result of? Sin. We can't change the effect that sin has on our body, but we absolutely can change the effect sin has on our life. Sin is going to take our bodies because, and it's going to deteriorate and it's going to break and we will die. We can't change that. But you know what? You don't have to let sin waste away your life. You don't have to look back at the end of your life with regret, saying, I wish I would have followed the Lord. I wish I would have stepped out and obeyed the Lord. I wish I would have. Instead of chasing my dreams, my ambitions, my focus, my career, my life, me, 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 me. There is hope, though. There is hope. Point number two, the message to the living. You know, the beauty in it all is that if you still have breath in your lungs, God can use you. I'll never forget, we had an elderly lady that was in our church, and she was, I think, close to 90. And she's like, Pastor, what can I do for the Lord? She's like, I've been praying. I she used to serve, used to do a lot of things. She was faithful, but she's like my age. And she's like, I want to serve the Lord. And I remember, you know, I said, well, let's pray. Let's think about it. And she comes back the following week. She says, you know what the Lord laid on my heart that I can do? I can write letters of encouragement to people in the church. And I said, hot dog, you're on to something, you know? Because we're never too old, and I love the fact that maybe here, even Solomon at the end of his life, looking back with, I'm sure, much regret, but still able to have an impact even later in his life. That's why we have the book of Ecclesiastes, right? The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are what? Evil. The message to the living would be this. Look at chapter 11, verse 7. Look at chapter 11, verse 7. Chapter chapter 11, verse 7 says, "Truly the light is sweet." That's talking about life right there. The light is sweet. And here, "and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun." I think Solomon's message, or should I say the Holy Spirit's message here to the living would be, enjoy the small things in life. When's the last time you just went out and just kind of just looked at the sun? Well, don't look at the sun too long, but just kind of, "I can't see. Pastor told me to go out there and look at the sun with magnifying glasses." No. I like this phrase when it says, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. And yes, it's talking about life. We have that life to be able to enjoy those things. But I was going for a walk this past week down the road, and you know, I remember the Lord just saying, "Hey, why don't you just slow down for a second and just look at the grass as you're walking?" I was like, "Okay." So I pick up a piece of grass. It probably looked like a weirdo walking down the street. By the time I was done, I had a flower in one hand and a piece of grass in the other on the way back down. And I wasn't giving them to my wife. You know, I was just like looking at them. I was like, "Okay, I'm looking. You know, because sometimes in life we miss the small things. It's a good thing to be alive. And Solomon reminds us, life is sweet. Don't take it for granted. You know, there's things that we can do now that we're not going to be able to do when we're dead. It's a blessing. Life is sweet. You know, it's how we view life that makes it either miserable or sweet. And can I say to you, life is sweet. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or at least it should be, well, you don't know what ailments I have and what sicknesses I have and what hardships I have. The last time I checked, the Bible still says that Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundant. We have a good life in Jesus. You know, we're going to go through difficulties. We're going to have hardships, but we have a good life when Jesus is our Savior. Don't be so busy that you miss the beauty and the blessings all around you. And I'm preaching to me. Don't be so busy that you miss the beauty and the blessings of God all around you. You know, I think about all the people that come to vacation here in the UP, and we live here, and sometimes we can just take the beauty all around us for granted, can't we? We just take, no big deal. I just live in one of the places that have one of the top 10 most beautiful places to see in America in the UP, right? No big deal. Don't be too busy, so busy that you miss the beauty and the blessings around you. Take time to enjoy the sun and all that God has created in it. But then remember the frailty of life. He says in verse number 8, he says, "But if man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness," or let him not forget that day of darkness. The day of darkness. It's not morbid in the sense like, oh, well, you know, we're all going to die. But it is good for us to be reminded of the realization that life is fragile. You know, one thing I've realized is that too many people hold grudges. Too many people harbor bitterness. Too many people, just go living life and don't say the words, "I love you." Don't say the words, "I'm sorry." Don't say the words, "Forgive me." We harbor grudges. We run past our family thinking they'll be there tomorrow. But if there's one thing that's we understand today is life is short, life is fragile. Life is short. The best thing you can do is don't assume that you have tomorrow. Don't assume that you have tomorrow. Hey, young people, maybe you need to go home and tell your mom and your dad you love them and you're grateful for them. Maybe you're older and your mom and dad is still living and you need to go home and tell them that you're grateful for them. Maybe there's somebody in here today that you know the Holy Spirit's working on you to either go seek forgiveness from someone or tell someone you're sorry. Maybe it's time for that husband and wife to go home and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I love you. Sorry I've let my petty things in life get in the way of our relationship. Because if you assume that you have tomorrow, that is a foolish assumption. Because life is so frail. And I guess the greatest thing that you need to consider is that once you're gone, you can't go back and say or do anything. You can't go back and say, I love you. You can't go back and say, I'm sorry. You can't go back and say, forgive me. You can't go back and say, hey, let's work on our marriage and make it rich. Not financially, just rich together. But you know there's one thing that you definitely can't do when you die? Anything else for the Lord. I don't want to be the guy that stands in heaven before the Lord that has nothing to show for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I really don't want to be the guy that stands before God in heaven and not having my faith and trust in Him. You know, today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, let me make it even more real to you. Hell is very real. Matthew chapter 13 would call it a place of torment. Hey, Jesus loves you so much, He died so that you don't have to go to hell, but without Him, you will go to hell. Don't assume that tomorrow you can believe in Jesus, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Jesus died on that cross and shed His blood for your sins. You won't be able to get to heaven and say, I was going to do it tomorrow. No, you should have did it today, Jesus says. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Is that something that you need to get right with the Lord today? Do you need to call upon the Lord and receive that gift of salvation? Because that is the greatest, by far, thing that needs to be done in your heart if you haven't. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. My wife's going to come and play the piano, but that last point, if you were to die today, do you know where you're going, heaven or hell? Do you know where you're going? Do you know of a certainty that you won't be cast into hell? I want you to ponder that thought, and I want you to follow that question up with why you won't be cast in hell. It's not a popular message, but you know what? It's the truth. Today I know heaven's my home. Do you know heaven's your home? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you called out to Him like the thief on the cross, seeking forgiveness from Him? Your church attendance can't save you. Your good works can't save you. Your religious background can't save you. Your denomination can't save you. How much money you give can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. Right now, today, you can bow your head and you can say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that You died to save me. Forgive me of my sins. Save my soul. Lord, I don't want to assume that I have tomorrow. I want to remember my Creator now. Lord Jesus, save me and give me the gift of eternal life. Maybe you're here today and you know very well that you are saved, washed in the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. Have you been remembering your Creator? Hey, what's your time and the place where you go each day to walk and remember the words of your Creator, the one who loved you, the one who created you? What's your time and your place? Is it 6 a.m.? Is it 6:30? Is it 7? Is it 8? Is it 9? What's your place at the kitchen table? In a private room in your house? Maybe a closet door that's shut that you can go in with the Lord? Or have you forgotten your Creator? The beauty is that you can remember Him right now. You have life. You can change that course today. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord, but the frailty of life, maybe there is someone that you need to go and say, I love you. I'm sorry. forgive me. Hey, let's work on our marriage. Let's not live a miserable life. Christ did not save us to live a miserable life. He saved us to live a rich one. I don't know how God spoke to you today. Different message. But pray it in as the worship team comes. Lord, I love you. And Father, I thank you for the reality that we do have a hope in heaven. Lord God, and we don't have to fear death. We don't. If our faith is in you, if your blood covers our sins, Lord God, we do not have to fear that. But Lord God, I do pray for the one that maybe has been living their life for themselves, for the here and now, without the end in mind. Lord, I pray for that young person, maybe in their teens or their 20s or their 30s, that is hearing the message. I pray that it would fall weighty on their ears. Lord God, I pray that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would prod their hearts to serve the Lord with all of their might while they have the power and the ability in their youth to do so. That they wouldn't look back in life with regret, saying, I wish I would have sought the Lord. But I pray, Father, for all of us, Lord God, that we would remember now our Creator. Lord, you've been so good to us. I ask and pray that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.